Well, good morning, church family. How's everybody doing this morning? Who's ready to worship together? Amen. It's nothing like power going out 5 minutes before service. So why don't you stand with us if you're able, want to, and we're going to worship this morning.
I can't go back to the beginning. I can't control what tomorrow will bring. But I know here in the middle is the place where you promised to be. Not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? 'Cause all I want is all you are. Will you meet me here in the shadows? In my weakness, your glory appears.
Come on, I'm not enough.
Spirit, dry bones awaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place.
So let go my soul and trust in Him. The waves and wind still call His name. So let go my soul and trust in Him. The waves and wind still call.
Yeah.
How about now?
Hey.
Hey, how about let's just praise the Lord by giving him a hand this morning. As you look around, first of all, I want to say good morning, church. I don't want to say good morning, churches, plural. And the reason why is because if you are a born-again believer who trusts in Jesus Christ, there is but one church. We are a body of believers, and we're here about the work of the kingdom. Today is it's a pretty exciting day. I know there's a lot of things that have been taking place that have gone on in the background that you guys don't know that. But today, and for those of you who are a part of our online viewing audience, and I want to say a big thank you to all those who work with the technical stuff, the video, the audio. It's a challenge. Today you have two churches that have come together to celebrate the 59th year. This is Central Baptist Church 59th year of being existence here in Oak Ridge. But you know something that's really cool? Last month, Awaken celebrated 10 years of being in existence to serve the Lord. So we come together today to, first of all, honor our Lord and Savior, but also to thank God that today both churches see further down the road because we stand on the shoulders of those who have gone on before us. And what a great, great time and opportunity to come together and be able to worship. Now, I do want to say this. We don't know what things are going to look like today, really. We got an idea of what it looks like because we worship a little bit differently. And today, we're coming together with different worship styles. Yeah, it's really kind of funny because I can still remember, I liken it to this. I mean, I remember riding down the road with my mom and dad and saying, how do they listen to this old 50s music? And, of course, I like it now. But nonetheless, it wasn't my style of that particular day. And then, of course, you know, then I've ridden down the road, and I'm sure that my son at some point in his life said, how do they listen to this thing? You know, everything that we do and everything that we listen to, here's the bottom line. May it honor and glorify and serve our Lord today, because that's what it's all about. So we want to welcome you. I mentioned a moment ago our technical people. For those of you who are viewing today online, Central and Awaken, we are using one feed. It is a YouTube feed. So therefore, the technical folks put a link on Central Baptist Church's website. So those that are normally watching on our Facebook link, all they have to do is click that link, and they're all of us are joined together, not only here in person, but also online. So first of all, we want to say a welcome. I call this the COVID welcome. Look around and wave at somebody. Give them a smile that says, hey, I'm glad you're here today, and man, I'm glad that I'm here today. That takes the old day of the handshake. We're going to switch out. Okay, there we go. So then, same thing with your online audience. Be sure to say hello to somebody that's online, because we love you and we appreciate you too. We are so glad that you are here. Now, I also want to say this. I know that we stand up a lot. Us preachers tend to forget that. If you have trouble with your legs, feel free to sit down. Okay, you can do that. I know some people have knee problems, and Pastor Jim right down here says, oh, thank the Lord. So we have you have permission to be seated if you want. You have permission to stand and lift your hands in praise to the Lord. We are here to serve our Lord today. And I pray that today, as you go away from this place, that you will do so with a new, renewed sense of who Jesus is and who you are in him. So things are going to look a little bit different today, but different is good, isn't it? I mean, we're still not driving Model A Fords, are we? When we go searching for a car, we want the newer model. So may today, each and every one of us be able to serve in a way that's going to magnify our Lord. Because I love, you know, get a little bit choked up just a minute ago, because to be able to say, it is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Let me begin our service today in a word of prayer. I'll share a little bit more with you later about our history at Central Baptist. But we're going to do some things. We're going to sing some songs together. You know, a more traditional church and a more praise and worship. I don't necessarily like to use the word contemporary, because to me there's a difference between that. This is praise and worship that Awaken does. And I love that. So may we truly praise and worship today in every facet of what we do together as a body of believers. Would you pray with me as we ask the Lord to do something special in our midst today? Father God, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, to be able to stand before your people, I'm a bit overwhelmed because you're God and we're not. Lord, today we come praising you for Jesus Christ. Lord, that sacrifice upon Calvary's cross, that grave that couldn't hold Jesus, that resurrection on the third day that makes salvation possible. And Lord, you want us. Father, I hear people all the time say, well, you just don't know what I've done, or you don't know how bad I've been. I can truly answer that question and say it doesn't matter. Because Jesus took your sins to the cross, through the grave, and resurrected to conquer them. And he gives new life. Today, Father, we're grateful for that. Lord, we're grateful for the legacy of the both of these churches that come together today to be the church. Not to go to church, but to be the church. To walk in that relationship with you. Lord, you've placed us here for a long time to do your work. So Lord, I pray that you will continue to watch over us and help us and strengthen us and lead us and guide us as we go forward. And Lord, today, may we honor you in a way that is so pleasing that you can't help but smile and say, those are my people. Those are my children. I love them. And I'm going to show up in a great, great way. Lord, I love your word. Your word says that you inhabit the praise of your children. Today, we're going to praise you, Lord. We're asking you to show up and inhabit that praise, change hearts, change lives, save souls, draw the wayward back to you. And Lord, may we be different from this day forward forever and ever because we've been in your presence today. Lord, be with every aspect of what we do. As we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Again, please be seated unless you want to stand like Roy said. We're about to sing How Great Thou Art, and we're going to do it old school. We're going to do it a cappella. So we'll just enjoy that. The words will be on the screen, and we'll sing that. As we get started, I'll look out and see this beautiful color. I want to thank Sandy and the team and everybody putting this together today and the food we're looking forward to receiving later. Please join me as we sing. There we are. My God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, stand with me for the last verse, please? When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, folks. Thank you, Brad. Some of you may not know this, so I want to go ahead and just do this. You know, we're very, you know, informal. But a lot of you may not know me. I've seen a lot of faces. There's a lot of folks that I don't know. But my name is Roy Carter. I pastor Central Baptist Church, and we meet right next door to you guys every Sunday. And in the same manner, I know that there's a lot of our folks that maybe have never had an opportunity to meet Pastor Jim. Well, you're going to get to hear him here shortly bring the word. But I want to share a little bit, not only with Awakened Church, but also with Central Baptist to remember the history. Like I said, we see further down the road because we stand on the shoulders of those that have gone on before us. And things just don't magically happen. God's hand has to be on each and everything. So, you know, for those who wonder, maybe even some of the Central people who wonder, how did we get where we are today? Well, I want to share just a brief synopsis of that with you. The first mention of starting a mission work in Oak Ridge occurred at a regular business meeting of Union Grove Baptist Church in September of 1954. Union Grove Baptist, which is just right down here on 150, is our mother church. That's what Central was birthed from. And that talk took place in September of 1954. A missions committee was appointed and a census was taken of the Oak Ridge community, and it was determined that a Baptist mission was indeed needed. The first meeting of the Oak Ridge Baptist Mission was held in Oak Ridge Elementary School in April of 1957. Regular services began in May of 1957, and during the early stages, average attendance was 53 people, and the offering averaged a whopping $43.67 per week. The recommended budget for that particular time was $52.40 per week. We've come a long way, haven't we? In October of 1957, the mission voted to purchase 2.9 acres of land at the intersection of North Carolina Highway 68 and 150. And of course, you know, one of the great parts about it was that those who founded the church essentially understood and realized that nothing of eternal significance is ever accomplished outside of prayer. So upper room prayer meetings were being held at Richard Nelson's house in a room over his garage. So they would meet there, they would pray about how God would lead them forward in bringing Central Baptist Church, which you know is Central Baptist Church today, to fruition. And on Sundays, Reverend Manley Bennett would preach at the Oak Ridge Baptist Mission in the elementary school at 10 o'clock a.m., and then he preached at Union Grove at 11 a.m. In December 1957, plans for a future church building were obtained. In July 1958, the mission voted to trade a portion of the building site for a more desirable plot. And in July 1958, the mission voted to sell $20,000 in church bonds to finance the very first building on the property. On September the 28th, 1958, plans for the first building were approved. The first recorded business meeting held in the church building was July the 15th of 1959. And then the church sold an additional $10,000 worth of bonds to finish the building. Reverend Manley Bennett was the first mission pastor pastoring both Oak Ridge Baptist Mission and Union Grove Baptist Church. Reverend Roy Liner was the last one to preach at both ministries. Doyle Moore was the first interim pastor, and Reverend Hubert Dixon was called as pastor in 1962. In January 1964, the mission asked for support from Union Grove to become a constituted Southern Baptist church called Central Baptist Church. And that became a reality on May the 3rd of 1964 with a charter membership of 116 members. And since that day, the church has had 12 pastors. That's it. In 59 years, there have been 12 pastors of Central Baptist Church. The church constitution was adopted in March of 1968, and the church became a self-supporting church in June of 1970. In August 1977, the church voted to sell another $76,000 in bonds to finance an addition to the building. A new sanctuary and educational wing was built in 1997, and that building was paid off in 2009. A family life center with offices and additional education space costing $2.2 million was dedicated in September of 2010, and that is the building that you are currently worshiping in today. I take joy in being able to say that God has been faithful to Central Baptist Church, and prayerfully within 2 to 3 years, the debt will be completely retired for all the properties that are here at Central Baptist Church. And then we start pouring that into more mission endeavors. Now, it says the regular weekly budget had gone from $52.40 per week to just a couple years ago, it was $14,189 weekly. In the past 10 years, the church has served in mission work in a half a dozen foreign countries, as well as mission work in the United States, local missions, and disaster recovery. The project mission budget for the year 2014, just to give you an example, in the year 2014, the mission budget alone was $144,530, which was 13.7% of the $798,000 total budget. So Central Baptist Church believes in missions. We have a heart for that, to be able to go out and to be able to reach people. We don't own any of it. It all belongs to God. And I will make you a promise. And I can say this on behalf of Central Baptist Church, and I can say it on behalf of Awaken Church. I want to challenge you to take the Malachi chapter 10 challenge. And you know what Malachi chapter 10 says? It says, would a man rob God? And he says, well, yeah, but you do. You do that with the tithes and the offerings. But here's one of the things that's really interesting that God says, okay? I'm talking about money. They're not leaving. That's the choir. They're coming up here. I didn't irritate them. Some people are going, oh, they're leaving. No, they're just coming on up to get ready to sing. And relax, everybody. I don't want to use the AED out there. But the challenge is this. Listen, church, listen, awaken, listen, Central. God says, it's the only place I know of in the Bible where God says this, I want you to try me. He says, put me to the test. You be faithful and given to me and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing that you cannot even contain. I've seen it over and over here. Let me tell you what happened as the choir is making their way up here. I just want to share this with you. When we began this project, David Miller, our associate pastor, and I sat down. We talked about, you know, I didn't want to do a building. The stuff like that scares me. But we sat down with a vision of what we thought God would want for us here. And then we said, well, finance team, go out and see what the bank would loan us. And they did, and they went back. And we sat down with what we were doing and with our planning and all the different things. And, you know, we were talking to people. And this building was somewhere in the neighborhood of $5.5 to $6 million. And the finance team came back and said, the bank will only loan us $2.2 million. What do we do? I said, well, we keep on plowing because that's not my problem. That's God's problem. And we did. And by the time the plans were done, by the time they were drawn up, by the time, does anybody remember what happened in 08, 09? That was when the housing market and the building market basically crashed. So we went out. That was at the time that we put things out for bid. Well, guess what the bid came in at? $2.2 $2 million, which is what the bank said they would loan us. From $6 million down to $2.2 million. That's the building you're sitting in today. We had an issue with sewage, and to the point where nothing perked. They did some tests, and we were basically in trouble. We're not in trouble today because by the grace of God, we were allowed to tie on to the public sewer that's over here behind, and it took all of our restrictions away. We no longer had restrictions on how we could use this building. Let me tell you something, folks. God shows up. Amen. He shows up. Yeah. And I want to challenge each and every one of you. I don't know how Awakens Giving is. I know how Central's is in a way, but I want to tell you, I want you to try to outgive God over the next couple of months, and I want you to watch what happens. I don't want you to tell anybody. Don't sit back and say, I'm going to take that. No, just do it. And I will promise you, tanks of gas will go further. Tires will go further. Mysterious fundings will show up that you never thought about. I could tell you story after story after story, but every time in my life in 57 years that I have tried to outgive God, he has not only somehow put it back, he's almost doubled it, and it's almost frustrating. But boy, I'm going to tell you one thing. It sure is a joy to be able to give it a shot. I want to challenge both of our churches to do that, because I will say this, and I've said it to my congregation, if our people, God's people, biblically tithe, we as pastors would have trouble trying to find out how to effectively utilize God's money, not ours. Okay, I'm done. Y'all are sitting there going, no, yeah, are you going to talk about money? No, it just happened to come up because God has blessed us in our history so much with that. So would you join us as we sing? I guess Brad's going to come up and say, do you need this or do I hold on to it too? Okay, all right. And folks, hey, listen, we are participators. Participate. You know, you know probably a lot of these songs. If you don't, jump in there where you can. Like Briscoe Darling said, that one's missing a string. Just let your thumb hang free and enjoy the music. Praise the Lord as we worship together.
Oh,
Check, check, check. I told you they weren't mad. They were just coming to minister. They wasn't leaving. But, hey, let's give a choir a hand as you praise the Lord for them. like I say, we do things different, but that doesn't mean that we don't praise the same God, and he loves it. Listen, I'm going to shut my mouth because you hand a preacher a microphone. That's never a good thing to do because it's not going to be short. But Pastor Jim, that pastor's Awakened Church, I mentioned a moment ago, it was last month, they just completed 9 years, okay? So they're getting ready to hit double digits, but 9 years of praising and serving the Lord, 9 years of hard, shoulder to the wheel, grinding work. And I just want to say it's a pleasure to have you guys here with us. What a joy that you guys have been to be around. And I've said so many times, there is one church, that's us. We come together to worship today. And this all came about because normally at Central Baptist Church, we would come together as we are right here to do our homecoming. But with Awakened meeting over here, this has become their sanctuary. So we're thinking, well, how do we do that? And we said, well, why don't we just do it together? There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So a lot of Central Baptist folks maybe have seen Pastor Jim. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But today, you get the opportunity to be able to hear Pastor Jim. He is going to bring our homecoming message for our 59th homecoming here together. We look forward to having opportunities as we go forward to being able to do some more things together. Pastor Jim is a confidant of mine, a co-worker, a co-laborer, somebody that we've laughed together, we've cried together, we've been shocked together. We've served together in the Piedmont Baptist Association on various and sundrious teams along the way. But I am so proud and pleased to not all, only call him a co-worker, a brother, but more than that, a friend. So would you pray for my brother Jim as he brings God's word to you today? Pastor Jim Scott of Awakened Church, come share with us, brother.
Thank you, Roy. I have to say, I mean, what an honor it is for me to be here doing this today. A year ago, we were in a storefront. Bring me that little remote up there, if you don't mind. We were in a storefront, and about this time is when I got notification from the fire marshal that we were going to be kind of pushed out. And we were devastated because we didn't know what we were going to do, but God knew. God knew. And Roy and I were at lunch one day with our pastor friends, and I mentioned what was going on. He just blatantly looked at me and says, come to my church. He says, come to my church. We got room. Come to my church. And so that's how it all began. God orchestrated it, and here we are. And I just want to say thank you, Central Baptist Church. It has been an incredible joy for us to be here since August. Just so you know, a little history of us. Yeah, our church, thank them. But since August, our children's ministry has more than tripled in size. More than tripled in size. Our youth ministry is growing. Our church is growing. We baptized on Easter Sunday 9 people. And we still have more to baptize. We're probably going to be doing that in a couple of weeks. So God is working, and I'm excited what he's doing here at this facility on Sunday mornings and throughout the week. You know, to start out, I want to tell you a story I read this past week. It was a story about the most dangerous road in America. And that's where accidents would often occur. And on this road was, just a short way from the frequent accident spot, was a little makeshift hospital. And the building was primitive. They only had one ambulance. But the members of the hospital, they were committed and kept constant watch over that road. And when there was an accident, they usually went out, whether it was day or night, to save the injured. Because so many lives were saved at this little hospital, it became famous. Soon, many people wanted to invest in this little hospital. They wanted to give their time. They wanted to give their talent. And they even wanted to give some of their money just to support the work they were doing. More ambulances were bought. The new staff was recruited, and formal training was being offered to the people there. And as the membership of the hospital grew, some of the members became unhappy that the building was so primitive and that the equipment was so outdated. They wanted a better place to welcome those survivors that were pulled from the accident. So they replaced the emergency cots with comfortable beds, and they put better furniture in the rooms and this enlarged decorated facility that they had. It went from looking like a hospital to looking more like a luxury hotel. And as a result, the hospital became a popular gathering place for its members, and they met on a regular basis. They began to spend more time with each other. They would greet each other. They would hug each other. They would kiss each other on their cheek. They were also looking to each other and talking about what the events were going on in their lives. Unfortunately, though, this led to fewer members having the desire to go out on the roads on these life-saving missions. So they hired crews to do this for them. Then one day, several large buses, they hit that intersection and they crashed, and there were many people were hurt. And the hired hands went out and they brought to the hospital loads of bloody bodies and people who were in need of life-saving measures. This beautiful hospital now became a place of chaos. The plush carpet got dirty. And some of the exquisite furniture that they bought got scratched. And at the next meeting, there was a rift in the membership, and a majority of the members, they wanted to stop the hospital's life-saving activities. They said that bringing in all the sick, bringing in all those injured people made things unpleasant and made it uncomfortable. They just wanted to go back to the good old days of fellowshipping. However, a minority of the members insisted that the life-saving was a primary purpose and pointed out that they were a hospital and they needed to do what they were called to do. But the majority voted them down, and the minority members, either they were forced to leave or they were forced to comply to the larger membership's way of thinking. And if you visit this road today, you will find a beautiful hospital with ample parking, plush carpeting. You also discover that the accidents still happen on the road and people are still in need of life-saving help. But the once quaint little hospital has long forgotten its original purpose of saving those who are sick, injured, and dying. They became more concerned about the comfort of their members, and it grew increasingly inward-looking. Sadly, the hospital forgot their primary purpose, and they had become nothing more than just a club. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that this story is really reflective of the church in America today. It's sad but true. The American church is in trouble. Listen, in the 1960s, the percentage of Americans that regularly attended church was about 70%. Today, regular attenders, and let me define regular attenders. Regular attenders are people who go to church every week and rarely miss. That's what a regular attender is. It's not once a month or every other Sunday. It's going almost all the time unless they're on vacation or sick or something like that. So today, regular attenders that attend churches every Sunday and rarely miss worship service has dropped from 70% in the 1960s to 20%. In the year 2023. Another statistic that I read said 60% of our population is living outside of the influence of the church. What's happened to the American church? Well, I'm going to suggest a few things real quickly. I believe there's the reason the church is declining because of several reasons, but the first reason I'll give you is because the church tries to please everyone. Listen, I want to hear my heart on this. I learned a long time ago, you can't please everybody. But I know that one I'm supposed to please is God, my Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's who the church is supposed to be pleasing. Another reason why the church has been declining is because they're avoiding the spiritual warfare. Folks, there's a war going on today in the cosmics. Listen, we want to say it's about politics. We want to say it's about Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, and all other groups. We want to say, listen, that's not the war. The war originates in the spiritual realm, and we need to take the battle to Satan and the demons. But yet, we sometimes forget the war is taking place. The church is declining because of the prosperity preachers. Don't get me started on them. I'll get in trouble because this is being videotaped. I might say something and get banned from YouTube. Nevertheless, the prosperity preachers, all they want to do is tickle your ears with sweet little nothings and make you feel like, oh, everything's supposed to be good. Let me tell you something. The Christian life is not always supposed to be good. It's going to be difficult at times. And any prosperity preacher tells you different, you know, he's not preaching the word of God that I'm reading. But the church is declining also because it has weak theology. That goes with the prosperity preachers. But here's what's happening in churches today in America, all over around America, even in our community. There are churches that are negating the Old Testament, saying we don't need to preach the Old Testament. We're just going to be a New Testament church. God forbid. The word of God from cover to cover is His word. It's inerrant. It's true. And we're supposed to teach it all. But another reason why the church is declining, and that is because it's self-centered. They stop looking outside, they start looking inside. They just think about themselves. They're not thinking about what they should be doing in the community, in the state, and throughout this entire world. Here's another reason why church is declining, because they're not willing to change. They're not willing to change. Listen, let's just be honest. You know, change happens all the time. Culture changes. And here's the problem. A lot of people say, well, we don't change. Why? Now, we don't change the message. I already talked about that. We don't change the message. But why aren't we changing the methods to reach the unchurched, the lost that are out there? Because that's what we're supposed to be doing. My dear grandmother, she's in heaven. I love her and I miss her. She was a godly woman. And I'll never forget when I visited my home church where she was a member of that church, for 50-something years. And I went home, and they had a new praise band. And Grandma had her seat. No one took her seat. Maybe some of you guys have your seat, but no one takes Grandma's seat. And it was pews. It wasn't chairs. And she had her pillow there. So I remember I went and sat near Grandma, and the praise band got up and started singing. And after church, I said, Grandma, what do you think about this praise band? She goes, I hate it. I'll never forget. I hate it, she said. And she was about 92 at this time, still teaching Sunday school. But then she looked at me and she said, but Jimmy, don't you all call me Jimmy. That's not my name. Only Grandma and Mama call me Jimmy. Okay, it's Jim. But she says, but Jimmy, if we don't change, we're going to lose a generation of people for Jesus. Wow, wisdom coming from my 92-year-old grandmother. People won't want to change. Let me give you a last one I have here, and that is simply this. The church is too judgmental. Boy, oh, judgmental, pointing the fingers when people walk in the door, not in film. My wife has a saying, and she says to me all the time, let me tell you, my wife, she keeps me in line. If you want to know who keeps me in line, it's her. And then when she can't do it, she prays that the Holy Spirit hits me in the head with a spiritual 2x4, and I've been hit a few times, trust me. But she says, when you start judging people, when you start pointing that finger, look how many are pointing back at you. These are the reasons why the church is declining. Now, let's put some things in perspective, because when I speak about the church, we need to understand that the church is a body of believers who are committed to fulfilling God's purpose in this world. That's what we need to recognize. It's a body of believers. You know, at Awaken Church, after each service, I have a saying. We do. I shout it out. Hey, people, help me out, because you Awaken folk, you know what I'm going to do. But I shout it out. I say, we don't just go to church. We are the church. We are the church. We are the church. For the rest of this service, though, what I want to do is talk about the organization known as the church. And if you were asked, what is the church, how would you respond? I'm sure most of you would say, hey, it's a body of believers meeting together to fulfill God's purpose. But if you were asked, what is the purpose of the church, what would you say? So for the next few minutes, what I want to do is I want to discuss the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church, first and foremost, is to be a hospital. We talked about this a second ago. It's to be a hospital. Look with me what Jesus' first encounter with Matthew, the tax collector. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 12, he says these words. I'll put it on the screen for you, but if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open up to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to move around a little bit today. But Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 12, it says, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciples, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guest, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. Oh my. I can already see the Pharisees pointing their fingers. But verse 11. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? And when Jesus heard this, they didn't know Jesus was listening in on their conversation. But when Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. Too often, people conclude that Jesus came to establish a new religion, but that's so far from the truth. Jesus came to reestablish a relationship with God the Father that was severed by sin. When sin entered into this world, so did death. When sin entered into this world, so did disease. When sin entered into this world, so did decay. This was not part of God's plan for mankind. The only thing that can cure us from this sickness is Jesus Christ. He came to pay a price that we could not pay. And then he rose again. He defeated death so that we might have life. Jesus then established his church. And part of the purpose of the church is to be a hospital for those who are spiritually sick. Look at what St. Augustine said so many years ago. Such great wisdom. He said, the church is not a hotel for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. But there are two problems with the church only being a hospital, folks, for the sick. First, many churches today want to be more of a club than a place of refuge and a place of rescue. The story I read, you know, began with many churches forget their purpose and they recognize that, you know, they don't want to rescue the lost and dying because it gets ugly. They'd rather hang out with their friends and their little cliques. And God forbid if a person walks in and is dressed different. God forbid if a person walks in and looks different from them. God forbid if a person walks in and talks different from them. Too many churches have become more like clubs than hospitals, and they're not inviting those who are sick. You know, being a hospital for the spiritually sick can be messy. Many churches have moved away from being all-inclusive, all-welcoming facility. But there's a second problem. There's a second problem with the church only being a hospital. And that is if a church is only focused on being a hospital, then eventually, you know what it becomes? A hospice facility. That's what it becomes. Hospice is designed to make life easier, less stressful, make end of life much easier, less stressful. With less pain. When the focus on being a hospital is lost, the church begins to die. When they focus on being a hospital only, the church begins to die and fade away. According to the Lifeway Research, check this out. Lifeway Research in 2019, this is the most recent statistics we have. They said approximately 4,500 Protestant churches are closing their doors every year. 4,500. And then they said only 3,000 new churches are opening. It's the first time in history of the American church where that number's been flopped. There has to be more than just the desire to be a hospital, folks, for the spiritually sick. Yes, we need to be that, but it's got to be a desire to be more than that. And that's what I'm going to give you. The next thing is, the first thing is the church must be a hospital. But let me say this to you. Listen to me on this. The church needs to be a gymnasium. After people are healed by the blood of Jesus, they need to take Paul's word to heart when he wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, these words. He said, therefore, everybody say, therefore. He says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence. Check it out. work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now, I know most of you know this, but for those of you who might not know this or might be a little confused on it, there are three phases to salvation. The first phase is known as justification. This happens the moment you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and save you from your sins. You are saved by grace through faith, and that is justification. The next phase, phase two, is sanctification, and this is where we work out our salvation. And phase three is glorification, and this is the phase where salvation is complete, when we enter into the kingdom of heaven, and our salvation process is complete. We're now with God. But take note, listen, phase two, the sanctification phase, the phase that all of us are in this room, if you're a born-again believer, if you ask Christ to come into your life to save you from your sins, you're in the sanctification phase. It's the most difficult phase because that's where we have to work out our salvation. Take note that Paul, remember, he's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's writing these words. Take note that he did not say, work for your salvation. He's saying, work those spiritual muscles out and let's get strong. Let's become mighty men and women of God is what he's telling us to do. That phrase, work out in verse 12, comes from a Greek word that indicates a command that has a continuing emphasis. It doesn't stop, folks. And the ideal is keep on working out to the completion, to ultimate fulfillment. In another letter, Paul emphasized working out our salvation by challenging believers to train to be godly. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, we read this. Have nothing. Everybody say nothing. Oh, come on, y'all can do better than that. Everybody say nothing. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself for godliness. And verse 8 says this, for while bodily training is of some value, there is value to us exercising. There's value to us doing the things we should be doing to help our physical bodies get better. But it goes on, while bodily training is of some value, but godliness is value in every way, as it holds promise for this present life and also the life to come. Listen, the church must be a place where believers come and they get trained to be godly. The purpose of training is to get better. The purpose of training is to become stronger. The purpose of training is to be prepared to share the good news of Jesus Christ at a moment's notice. Training to be godly prepares us to live out the Great Commission, to go and tell people about the abundant life that we can have through Jesus Christ. Training to be godly prepares us to say no to Satan and yes to God. Training to be godly gives us the spiritual muscles to stand firm when the enemy attacks and when difficult times come. But the unfortunate truth is this. Many churches today are failing their congregants because they're acting more like spas than they are white weight rooms or gymnasiums. They are acting more like spectators than they are competitors. Doesn't matter how old you are, folks, listen. It does not matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what phase of life you're in. The training, the working out your salvation does not end this side of heaven, folks. We need to train every one of us. And the church needs to be a place where you come get some of that training. We're to take the words that Paul wrote to the Christians in Philippi personal when he said, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Let me just stop there real quick. He says, I haven't gotten there yet. This is Paul, the apostle Paul, the man who planted all these churches. He said, I'm not there yet. If anybody thinks you're better than Paul in this room, then I'd like to know what you do and tell me. Because Paul says, I'm not there yet. And let me just say this. Jim Scott's not there yet. Roy Carter's not there yet. And neither are you. We need to forget, he says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. And he goes on, he says, I press on. Everybody say, press on. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in God in Christ Jesus. We're to press on. How do we do that? We work our spiritual muscles out by being in the Word of God, by being in discipleship classes, by coming and using our spiritual gifts. That's how we do it. Paul recognized that He recognized that he had to move on from the past. That's one of the biggest problems in the church, moving on from the past. Too many believers are living their lives like cripples. They're paralyzed by grudges. They're paralyzed by bitterness and unconfessed sins. Their past tragedies have crippled them, and they're failing to live the abundant life that Jesus Christ promised us in John chapter 10, verse 10, where he said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come, he said, to give you life and life abundantly. It's time to put that stuff where it belongs, put it in the past. And it's time for the church to exercise its spiritual muscles and press on and make a difference, not only in this church, but in this community, in this town, in this city, all in this state, in our country, and in the world. We can do it. Press on and make a difference. The church is not a spa. It's not a place to come and get you feel good on. It's a place where you come with a desire to be changed, a desire to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And we know when you work out, listen, when you work out your physical muscles, you're going to feel pain. You're going to feel pain. You know, we know, listen, the same is true, though, when you work out your spiritual muscles. Let me suggest, there's an old saying. Most of you know I'm an ex-athlete. I played college football. I played in the pros a short time. Most of you know that I played in the NFL, and most of you know the NFL stands for National Football League. In my case, it stands for not for long, because that's how long my career was, not for long. But the fact is this, I always heard my trainers tell me this when I was in the weight room working out. They would always say this, no pain, no gain. And I believe the same is true in spiritual working out. There's no pain, no gain. So let me give you one more purpose for the church. One more purpose for the church. The first one, the church must be a hospital. The second one, it must be a gym. But the third one, the church must be a home. The church must be a home. The history of the Christian church begins in the book of Acts. And look, I want you to see how they operated. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42-47, it says this, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. Let me stop there for just a second. I want you to see what it's saying there. They were devoted to the scriptures, of reading and learning the scriptures. They were devoted to fellowship. That word fellowship is koinonia in the Greek. It means living life together. They were devoted to breaking of bread. I think this is referring to the Lord's Supper, which is the highest form of worship, and they were devoted to prayer. And look what happens because they were devoted to it. Look at this. This is really good. It says, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. When we do it God's way, great things happen. And then it goes on, verse 44, it says this, and all, say all. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had a need. They were helping each other out. And it goes on. And look, check out the results again. When you do it God's way, great things happen. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. When you do it God's way, great things happen. And when you act like at home, people want to come. They did it together. They lived life together as a family. When difficult times existed, they were there for each other. When unexpected things happened, they encouraged each other. When there was a need, the church family was there to provide for them. I remember several years ago, before I moved to Greensboro, we moved here in 2002 to become a youth pastor at a church here. I was serving in a ministry called the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, FCA. It's a faith-funded ministry. I had to raise all the support for the ministry. And I remember one year, Kim and I were met with some incredible financial difficult hardships. And of course, when did it fall? Around Christmas time. My heart was broken. I had four children. And my heart was broken because I couldn't provide for them the way I wanted to. I mean, I literally would go in my office, I would cry because I'm trying to be the dad that God called me to be. I played NFL football. I was a cop for 10 years. I left a successful career to go into ministry. And here I am struggling to buy Christmas gifts for my children. Somehow, my church family at Bethel Baptist Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, discovered my situation. And unbeknownst to my wife and myself, they provided an incredible Christmas for my family. There was a knock on the door. I saw a car drive off. And at my door, Christmas gifts, food, never dreamed of. They took it upon themselves to bless this family. That was my church home. That was my church home before I moved here. And because of that, that's why it's so important for me as a pastor at Awakened Church that this church is home for anybody who comes in these doors. That's why when you do visit Awakened Church, and some of you have seen me even from Central, there doesn't go to Sunday that I'm not out there greeting people. That's just who I am. That's my personality. But I want to welcome people constantly and let them know this at home. 2 weeks ago, some dear friends of mine, members of this church, shared with me, for the first time in our adult lives, we feel like we're home. We feel like we're home. Listen, in our world today, there is such an incredible need for the church to act like the family again. We must be an all-inclusive and not exclusive. Now, hear my heart on that. We'll accept anybody that walks through those doors. Now, we don't accept their way of life, they're living in sin, but we accept them because God accepts them and because this is a place that they need to come to Christ and come here and get saved. They need to be healed from their sins. We need to be all-inclusive. It doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter how they talk. It doesn't matter what kind of clothes they're wearing. It doesn't matter how many tattoos. It doesn't matter how they wear their hair. Listen, this place needs to be a place where anyone can come. Because this is not, I want you to hear me on this. This is not your church. This is not Roy Carter's church. This is not Jim Scott's church. This is not your church. Roy alluded to it already. This is God's church. And God has called us to be stewards of this church. And the question is, I'm going to ask you, how are you managing God's church? Because Roy and I can only do so much, folks. We can only do so much. God has gifted each and every one of you. And God has a place for you to serve in both of our churches. And again, folks, hear me on this. Doesn't matter how old you are. God can use you. Can I just say this, folks, Central, because, I mean, we're a relatively young church. I'm one of the old ones. I know my people pick on me about that, but can I just say this, and please hear my heart on this? There is no retirement this side of heaven when it comes to your Christian life. No retirement. We're to press on, keep going, and let God use us. We got to do everything we can to become that church that's a hospital for the sick. We need to do everything we can to make this church become both these churches, these two churches who operate on one roof with one vision, and that is to bring glory to Jesus Christ. We need to be a church, two churches under one roof, being like a gymnasium where people can come and grow in their faith and become men and women of God, where the families can be families under the teaching of the Word of God. We need to be two churches together, recognizing that we're one church and it's home. Yeah, we're celebrating y'all's anniversary here today. I think it's what a privilege it is for us to be a part of your anniversary. You know, because we're home. We're home. We're here. God is here. He's in our presence. But the question I have to ask you is this, and this is the question I close with here, is what are you going to do when you leave this place today? Will you say, man, you know, what a great service today. The music was good. The fellowship was good. Hopefully you'll say the food was good because I cooked it. If you don't like it, my wife cooked it. That's not true. Hopefully we'll go. But let me ask a question. When you walk away from this place, are you going to ask God and the Holy Spirit? Hey, just say, actually, just talk to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, can you tell me? Tell me where I need to step up. Tell me where I need to do more. Tell me, I want to be used by you, God, in this church. That's what my desire is for each of you to do today when you leave this place today. Just cry out to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me truth. What do I need to do to make these two churches, one body, become a pillar in this community to make a difference in the world for Jesus Christ? That's the question I want to leave with you today. Let's pray. The church is a hospital, and I'd be remiss because I don't know everybody here. Maybe you came here today and you got a lot of baggage, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. Maybe you came here today with religion. You know, at Awaken, we say relationship's not religion because it's about a relationship. Jesus came to reestablish a relationship with God the Father through his death on the cross and resurrection. So maybe you came here with a lot of religion. Maybe, I don't know. Only you and God know your heart. If you're here today and you've never asked Christ to come into your life, today's the day to recognize this place as the hospital where you can have life-saving measures put upon you so that you can have an abundant life. Have you asked Jesus to come into your life and save you from your sins? Jesus came to save you from your sins. And then we sang the song, or the choir sang the song, about the wonderful name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. You have an opportunity to do it now, or you might, if you wait till when you get to heaven, folks, it's too late. It needs to be now. Today is the day of salvation. So if you've never asked Christ into your life today, I challenge you, do it right now. Just say a prayer in your heart like this right here. Just say a prayer. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I have failed you. I've made mistakes. And I need forgiveness. I need for you, Jesus, to come into my life and save me from my sins and set me free. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you rose from the grave 3 days later. And today I ask that you be Lord of my life. If you said that prayer just now and you truly meant it. Now listen, if you truly meant it and you said that prayer just now, then I want to congratulate you and say welcome to the family of God, because you just did the greatest thing you can possibly do. But the other thing I want to do is I want to pray for you. So what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to ask everybody to just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. A little different for some of you folks here. Just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. If you said that prayer, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm just going to pray for you. If you said that prayer just now and you meant it, would you just make eye contact with me? Just look up at me. I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise. A lot of people here, so I'm going to have to look around, look hard. If I miss you, wave at me. So look around. I'm looking to my left, your right. I'm looking at the middle. If you're looking at me, I'm going to ask you, are you looking at me? So if you have eye contact with me, I'm going to ask you, are you looking at me? Are you looking at me? You are? Congratulations. Welcome to the family of God, my brother. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you. I told you I'm not going to embarrass you. Anyone else? That's all I do. I might talk to you later, but hey, that's all I do. Anybody else have the courage to do what this young man did? Anybody else? I'm looking. Please look at me. If I miss you, wave at me. Okay, then I hope that means all of us do know Christ as our Savior and one new person to the family of God as of today. Now the question is, what are we going to do when we leave this place today? Are we going to leave this place more excited about being a part of God's church? More excited about being used by God? Committed? Are you going to do that? I hope so. Father God, thank you for this day, and thank you for your love. Most of all, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this young man who just now acknowledged accepting Jesus. I lift him up to you right now. I pray, God, that you would just pour your grace, your mercy, your love all over him. Let him feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life, because I believe, God, the moment he accepted your Son, your Holy Spirit took up residency in his life. So I lift him up to you right now, and I pray for him to be a champion for Jesus. And I pray that prayer for all of us, God, that will be champions for Jesus. It's in the most powerful name, the wonderful name, the name that every person will confess, the name that every knee will bow before, Jesus. We pray in his name, and all God's people say, amen. Let's stand and worship one more time here.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice.
Come on, church, sing it out.
How great. Sing with me. Great is our God, and age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great. Name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God.
We're going to sing that again. Come on.
And
isn't God great? Let me let y'all have a seat for just a minute. We're just gonna get a couple of housekeeping things here, and then we'll get you eating. I want to let Jim start because there's something I want to do. So if you have any announcements, anything that you have for your church, your people, or whatever, you go ahead. You go first. I'm going to finish up because I got something
I want to do. All right, that's good. So first, let me just say this. Some of you know about Coach E. Coach E, for those who don't know, was a teacher and a coach at Northwest Guilford High School. And Coach E and I became friends. First, we were enemies. we barked at each other a lot because I coached football and he coached track and wrestling. And Coach E died on Sunday. He was at his beach house. And we had just got done texting about 4 o'clock. He missed church, and we were texting each other. And 5 o'clock, he passed away, got the call the next night. He was supposed to be in my men's group on Monday night. But I want to share this with you. During the pandemic, Coach E, he knew he had some bugs in his life. He knew there was something missing. And he reached out, and Chas and I were together when he reached out to us, and he started coming to church, and I had the privilege of leading him to Christ. So I know without a shadow of a doubt, Coach E is in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And we're going to do a celebration of life service here on Saturday. This coming Saturday at 2 o'clock. I believe this place is going to be packed. It's going to be majorly packed, and I want to encourage you to come back for that, to celebrate his life. You know, he's one of those guys that you can say, look, he didn't live a perfect life, but neither have I and neither have you. But we know that the grace found him, and amazing grace found him, and he is now in the kingdom of heaven. So we want to celebrate his life. So I just want to bring that up. One other announcement I have is simply this right here. Hey, Central folks, this is for you also. If you go to our children's ministry, there's a little postcard like this right here, and it's got a little QR code on the back. Starting on June 25th in the evenings, we're going to be doing like a weekly every Sunday night vacation Bible school. Instead of doing it Monday through Thursday, we're going to do Sunday night starting on June 25th all the way through, I can't remember the date in July, but there's a date in July. It's like a 6-week program for children. So you've got grandkids. This would be a great program for you to bring your kids to. We're going to do let me ask you a question, Central. Have you liked seeing little children running around at this church? Amen. Man, come on. I mean, I love children, and we love children here, and the more children and families we can get here, the more we become that home, that hospital, and that gym. Okay, so one last thing I need to do before I pass over to him, because I was asked to do it. Marsha, where are you at? Where's Marsha? Oh, Marsha, come on down here. Marsha is the chair of the personnel team. You come on down here, too. To what I understand, this is his 25th anniversary. Is that what it is? 21st. Oh, I just aged you, buddy. Come on down here. So, Marcia, here's my microphone.
There's a little gift here from the church, and we love you. I didn't realize, so he's been our pastor 21 out of 59 years.
Yeah.
So that's a long time. When he came here, I believe he's about 35 years old, flat top, and I asked somebody on the personnel committee, I told this last year, but I asked somebody on personnel, I said, what does he look like? I mean, on a pulpit committee. And they said, well, he's got a flat top and he hadn't missed too many meals. but he's slimmed down a lot since then. But anyway, we appreciate you. He did tell me at the first of the year, he said, I just really have it in my heart that we need to increase missions. Next thing we do, with our $7,000 goal for Cuba, we reached $18,000 through prayer. So thanks everything.
Thank you. Man, thank you guys so much. It does seem like only yesterday, and it's really hard to believe it's been 21 years. But it's been 21 great years. We've been on some mountaintops, and we've been in some valleys, but we're still out there getting it for Jesus. Amen? Amen. We're not going to stop now. I want to do this just because, well, just because it's me. Pastor Jim and his wife, Kim. Kim, would you stand? Jim and Kim, both of y'all stand up. If you would, turn around. I want all the Central people to know who the power behind Jim Scott is. That would be his wife, Kim. Nobody knows what a pastor's wife goes through except a pastor's wife. There's no way that you can. But I will tell you this, God calls them to be pastor's wives in the same way that he calls pastors, the heart that they have. So first of all, I want you to do me a favor. Jim actually cooked our meal. Some of you, if you'd been at David's 50th year of service anniversary, you had some of Jim's cooking, but it's brisket, it's honey garlic chicken, mashed potatoes, green beans, salad. Jim cooked all this. So let's show him our appreciation for cooking the meal for Central Baptist and Awaken's lunch today. Now,
I'm going to do something that he's going to appreciate and you may not. I'm going to throw him and Kim out of here, and I want to tell you why. Their family is waiting for them at the beach. Jim stayed. He's going on his vacation. He and Kim are going on their vacation a day late so they could be with us today. And they're having to come back from their vacation early to do Coach E's funeral. So with that, I want to dismiss you. I want you guys to go on and get out of here and get on the road so you can be down there with your family. And if you all, when you get a chance, Central folks, I want you to take opportunity. If you want to greet Jim, do that in the lobby next Sunday. Okay? Anything? Any last words? Love you too, buddy. Get on out of here. We want you to get down there with your family that's waiting on you and them grandbabies that need to see you. I want to give just a couple of announcements and we'll let you do something, but I want to do something also that's a little bit different. If you are in here, regardless of which church, and you have children back in the children's area, would you please stand? Please stand. Okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go on back there and get your children. Because children get hangry, and we don't want you in the back of the line. We want you in the front of the food line. So while I'm giving a few announcements, go ahead and make y'all's way on back to pick your children up, and then go over here by the food line, and I'll have a prayer in just a minute, but we want to get you there so that the kids won't be, swinging from your earlobes or something. At any rate, just a couple of things for the folks that are around here, which actually it's both Central and Awaken. One of the things we usually do at Central is we mention those that are having birthdays. This week, today, Ansley Fondo is having a birthday today. Harass her, give her a hard time if you can. And then this coming Friday, Nora Young and Kim Bendigo will celebrate another trip around the sun. So if you get an opportunity, let them know how much you love them and appreciate them. Just want to give a reminder that the band will actually be having a rehearsal today in the sanctuary at 2 p.m. for the 4th of July celebration. Is that correct? Jim's over there somewhere. Where'd he go? There. Yes, that is correct. Okay. I just want to make sure. 2 o'clock today. So after you eat lunch, you can go on over there and practice for the 4th of July celebration. There will not be any services tonight here for at least for Central Baptist. I want to remind folks that graduation Sunday, we will be observing that on June the 4th. So if you know of any graduates that maybe we don't know about yet, please contact the church office. We'll be recognizing them on June the 4th, graduation Sunday. Now, this is for both churches. Please pay attention to this. Betty Cazito, which is right over here. Betty, if you would stand up for just a second, because I want people to have a chance to see you. This is Betty Cazito. Betty works with our health and safety committee around here at the church. Coming up on June the 10th, there will be a CPR class. That's going to cover CPR. That's going to cover, I believe, it's both adult and infant CPR as well as AED. Yeah, AED operation, which there's one in that corner back there. If you are not certified, you can be certified. You can be a part of this, whether you're part of Central or Awaken. There is a sign-up sheet over in our narthex. If we'll try to put one around here so that you will have that opportunity as well to make known that you would like to be a part of that. We encourage our folks, particularly that work with children, to be able to do that. I mean, that can save somebody's life. But that's coming up June the 10th. It's going to be from 10 o'clock till 1 o'clock. Bring a snack with you. There is a cost that is somewhere between $35 and $45, depending upon the total number that sign up. Miss Betty, you can talk to her about that. You saw her over here. She can give you some more information about that, but I strongly encourage that you have people that are CPR certified. It has saved lives in Central Baptist Church. There was a life saved over in that building over there back years ago because somebody knew CPR. So Awaken and Central, this is open to you. Miss Betty can give you the details on that, okay? There is a men's breakfast that's every Wednesday at 10 a.m. at the Olympic Restaurant. If you have that opportunity to go by there, there's no agenda. You just go over there and eat the food and have some fun. So if you can make that men's fellowship, 10 a.m. every Wednesday at Olympic Restaurant. We will be having a 4th of July celebration here in the gym on July the 1st. We usually do patriotic songs. Our brass will take care of that. That's what they're practicing for. We would love for you to come and be a part of that as you have the opportunity. That will be July the 1st is when that will be, and we will let you know as far as the times on that. Now, without any further ado, let me do this. I'm going to return thanks in just a moment for the Central Baptist people. Where my Central Baptist people say, I'm here. Okay, good deal. You see that box sitting back there by the door? Isn't that cool? It's got the green sign on it. That is your offering plate. Do not pass it by. You hear me? Don't miss out on the blessing. Where are my awakened people? Where are my awakened people? Say here. All right, see the little red box right there beside the curtain? That's where you drop your tithe in so that God can bless you. Say, preacher, I'm not going to forget it. If you are, we're going to come after you. We're not just trying to get into your pockets, but God, listen, it's more. Myself and Jim both want you to be blessed. You are the one that is missing out on the blessing of not being faithful in that regard. I promise you, try God and you will not be disappointed in that. Okay, so here's what I want to do. I'm getting ready to return thanks, but let me get my parents with the little kids. If you will make your way over to the table over here, and I'm getting ready to say the blessing, but y'all get ready to start the line. And at the same time, are you guys going to play something else? Okay, go ahead and go over there as well. Yeah, if y'all want to, grab your families and go ahead and get in line, because so often these are the folks that are behind the scenes that get left out, that are doing sound and light and all these kind of things that have done a great job and helped lead us with praise and worship. So we want to do that. We want to get the praise band and the folks that have been a part of the service. If you'll just go over there and get behind, start your line around this way. Pastor David, show them how to make the line back there, because I know this is kind of new. Start working your way this way, and then I'm gonna say the blessing. See the lady back there that calls the shots? That's Miss Sandy. Where's Sandy? There's Sandy and Pastor David. They'll show you how to get in line so we can kind of get folks around this way. But as you head that way, I'm going to let the praise band go over there as well. And then here's what we're